curtains to see the village bandsmen clustered round a lighted lamp, tied to a pole, and hearing Hark the Herald and O Come All Ye Faithful played with great gusto, and joining with other young people as soon as darkness fell to tour the village to sing these same well-known Christmas hymns, are two of my earliest Christmas recollections. Deep snow and sparkling frost added to these pleasures. Why did we never feel the cold in those days? There were no luxuries in those bygone days. Homemade paper chains and holly decorated our rooms, and a pile of logs filled our hearth. Homemade cakes and puddings and mincemeat filled the pantry shelves. A box of dates, a dish of nuts, oranges and apples, and a bottle of ginger wine were included in our Christmas fare. Christmas Eve was always a busy time for my mother, stuffing the goose, preparing the vegetables, and getting the children off to bed early. This was no trouble on Christmas Eve, the night when Father Christmas came. I can remember trying to keep awake, wanting to see him arrive, at the same time being somewhat fearful of some stranger filling that long stocking of my father's, which hung at the foot of my bed. I can still recall the rustling sound that stocking made when I woke early next morning and pushed my feet down the bed towards its bulging sides. An orange in the toe, a few nuts and sweets, handkerchiefs, just a few simple things were all it contained, and yet what a joy and thrill they gave me. For several years, my younger brother and I had our Christmas Day tea with some elderly relatives who lived 2 miles away in Hillrove. I wish I could make a ground rice cake like the one we always had for tea. No rich iced Christmas cake could compare with that rice cake, with sugary, buttery, mouth-watering taste. And how I would have liked a second slice. After tea, we played dominoes and draughts and a game of I Spy, and then hot mince pies and a cup of cocoa, and muffled up with scarves and coats, we walked home. I can well remember those walks over 50 years ago. It was always moonlight and frosty, and how the frost did sparkle, and the stars. I watched the stars, they were so bright, and a shooting star gave me a shiver down my spine. It seemed such a fearful and frightening thing. I never see a shooting star now without being reminded of those walks home on Christmas nights. Looking back on those bygone Christmases, why did I enjoy a walk in the frost and snow then? And now I hate to even step out of the door or leave the fireside for a short while. Does the cold get colder as one gets older? Or do our likes and dislikes change and we prefer the warmth of the inside of our house to the biting cold outside? We roasted chestnuts and almost roasted ourselves by our open grates. Then, hugging a hot brick wrapped in flannel, we went to bed, contented with simple pleasures, finding time to think of the real message of Christmas, of peace on earth, goodwill to all men. At the Methodist Sunday School at Christmas time, we were always given collecting cards for overseas missions, and during the holiday period, I went around collecting from various people. Mostly a penny or tuppence. To get sixpence was a great help. I had an old aunt in the next village of Wilburton who always gave me tuppence for the missions. But as I was scared of the Wilburton children, I put off this collection until finally I plucked up courage, got the tuppence, and then ran until I was well on the way home. During the Christmas holidays, we usually had the Sunday school treat, a real highlight, and red letter day. I can remember one year, after the usual tea of bread and butter and fruit and plain cake, we had a magic lantern. It was a show given by an old gentleman with a smoky oil lantern and glass slides, which he kept showing upside down. And I can remember how the rows of children cheered when the old man did manage to get a picture the right way up the first time.